following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me for the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, for the 491st podcast episode. And he's back in the United States, Josh Hodge, Union Men's Head Hockey Coach. Josh, welcome back to America after your sojourn to Belfast, Northern Ireland. How are things going?
It's going well. It's good to be back, and it was a great trip.
Well, you, as I mentioned, you're back from Belfast, Northern Ireland, where the team played in the Friendship Four tournament. Union beat Sacred Heart 8-1 on Friday to reach the championship game for the second time. Union won the 2018 title and was looking to become the first team to win the Friendship Four since the tournament started in 2015. Unfortunately for Union, Miami of Ohio ruined that chance by winning 3-2 on Saturday. Before we talk about the games, let's discuss the trip. I know we talked a little bit about it last Tuesday, but now that you have returned, how much fun was it?
You know, it was a lot of fun. I mean, you look back on it and a ton of memories. A lot of time with the guys. My family was able to go, so that was, you know, very enjoyable. And it was almost a perfect trip. Obviously, if we score one more goal, I think it would have been perfect. But you know, obviously, we didn't. With that being said, it was, you know, something that I'll remember forever.
Other than the games, what were the most memorable moments for you and for the team?
I mean, I think, you know, the Giants Causeway was pretty special, just being able to walk around there. We had Thanksgiving dinner at a local prison that...
Prison?
Jail. Like that, you know... It's,
wait a minute.
Yeah, it's turned into, now it's the Bushmills Distillery, and there's we got a tour of it, and it was... Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So they had Irish dancers there, and pretty memorable.
I'm thinking you got in jail. I missed some newsers. But would you like to do it again?
I would do it again in a second. Yeah, it was it was a great trip, and like I said, as to have my family be with our Union family. Really special. Yeah.
Well, let's get into the games. As I mentioned, Union opened the tournament against Sacred Heart. It was the ninth meeting between the two schools and the first since 2016. And Union looked a little sluggish in the opening few minutes of the first period. And Sacred Heart takes advantage of miscommunication between goalie Cameron Corpy and defenseman Will Felicio. After Corpy had left the puck behind the Union net, led to Gavin Bryant goal 7-13 into the game. Not the way you want to start the game.
No, definitely was not. But, you know, mistakes happen. It's part of the game, and hopefully it's something that, you know, we learn from and never happens again.
Well, I think the goal lit a fire into the Garner Chargers because, watching a game on Friday, you guys started to take control of the game, and Carter Rhodes leads a 2-on-1 rush down the right side into the Sacred Heart zone, and he passes the puck to Riley Bruick on the left side, and he scores at 13:33 to tie it at 1. Great play by Rhodes. Just how big was that goal? Just describe that whole 2-on-1.
Yeah, he drove the puck down the right side of the ice, and he had the puck right on his hip there, and kind of faked as if he was going to shoot, and then made a pass right on Riley's tape, and Riley made no mistake about it. But I felt like we had kind of started to turn the momentum of the game, and that really kind of sparked everything.
Yeah, 44 seconds later, Ben Muethersbaugh scores, and late in the period, Brandon Burr scores. So Union's ahead 3-1 after the first, and after that slow start, how pleased were you and how the team turned things around?
Yeah, really happy to be able to go in the locker room up 3-1, and I felt like we had started to turn it, so to get rewarded was good.
Well, the game turned into a rout in the second period. Connor Smith, Tyler Dunbar, and Buziel scored to make it 6-1. Dunbar's goal was impressive. He skated from the right side to the net. He got Sacred Heart goalie Ajit Gundaha out of position and deposited the puck into the net. How impressive was that goal?
Yeah, he drove to that back post, and I thought just kind of willed himself there. Their forward was tracking him back and just kind of let him go, and real nice move by Tyler to finish.
How did you like the team's play in the second period?
Yeah, I thought it was complete control, really from the start of the period on. And, we didn't give up too many chances. I think they had a few shots, but overall it was a really good period.
Well, Union does not let up in the third period. It gets goals from Drew Sutton and Muthersbog to wrap up the 8-1 win. I mean, how good was it to see the team keep the skate on the gas, not let up?
Yeah, we want to have, that kind of mentality that we're not going to let somebody up when they're down. And it's easy to kind of just go through the motions, and I didn't think we did that. We had good detail in our game and was pleased.
Well, let's hear what Ben Muthersbaugh, Carter Rose, and Tyler Dunbar had to say after the game.
Guys, let me start with you, Ben. The guys were a little sluggish there at the start, but what turned things around there?
Yeah, just bouncing back after they got that quick one there was huge for us, and everyone kind of came together and got out the early bucks over here, so it was great.
Did you guys feel, 3-1 and then get to 6-1, did you feel you guys were in control of the game after two periods?
Yeah, going into the third, we just wanted to, stick to our detail and our habits, not really change too much, and, just finish out the final 20.
Carter, for you, talk about the 2-on-1 there that started the scoring parade there. What did you see, and how important was it to get that goal to get things going?
Yeah, no, it was a pretty lucky play. It kind of hit my hand, and we got the 2-on-1. But I was kind of looking past the time, and then it opened up, so Brew made a great play.
How big was that goal? When you get the goal there. Ben scores shortly after that, so it's you go from a sluggish start to being up 2-1.
Yeah, I think it was a big play. I think it just took us a little time to get our legs under us, obviously with the bigger sheet. But yeah, from there on, we were pretty good to go.
Tyler, I want to ask you about that move you made. Well, first of all, you had a breakaway. Have you ever had a breakaway before?
Yeah, I've had a couple. I don't think I've put as many shots on that are that bad on them, but I saw an opening and I just kind of took it.
Well, talk about your goal there, just the move you made. Just just how big was that goal?
Yeah, it's definitely nice to get an insurance goal like that. Nate made a nice play to me down the wall, and the seas just kind of parted. And, I didn't really expect to have that much time, but it was nice to get one.
Yeah, to talk about I'll ask you about the sluggish start, too. I mean, how tough was it to, get off to that slow start? And did that goal they scored maybe wake you guys up a little bit?
Yeah, I think there's an adjustment period with anything. It's a new size rink, and I think we were just confident that we were going to get back to the game that we know how to play, and it was never really something we were worried about. We knew we would find our game however long that would take.
Carter, let me start with you. Going up 6-1 into the third period, how important was it to continue the press, keep the skate on the pedal, and not let up and not give Sacred Heart any hope, because you guys just didn't really give them any hope whatsoever?
Yeah, obviously it's big. You don't want to have any bad habits going into a big game like tomorrow. So, just continuing to play our way and being hard will help us tomorrow for sure.
Ben, your thoughts on that? The way you guys...
It was big. Everyone came together, and once we got a couple, we just kind of took off from there. And, we ended the game well going into tomorrow. So, obviously a huge one tomorrow at 7.
Tyler, for you, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, it's nice to see us continue to do... continue to stick to our details, and hopefully that carries over into Saturday.
Well, let me wrap this up with the final question. I'll start with you, Tyler. What's it going to mean to play for the championship? And Union could become the first team in this tournament to win two titles.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. I think the crowd was great today. It was a really fun place to play. So I can't imagine tomorrow, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Ben, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's obviously going to be a huge opportunity for us tomorrow. We'll see who our opponent is after later tonight.
And Carter, wrap this up with you.
Yeah, obviously we have a ton of family here, supporters, so it'll be a big one, not just for us, but for them. So I think we're excited.
Now let's move on to the championship game. Union takes on Miami of Ohio for the first ever meeting between the two teams. The Miami program has been down for a while, but it seems to be on the upswing under head coach Anthony Noreen. What are your thoughts on the job he's doing?
Yeah, doing a really nice job there. We have a pretty long history kind of coming up through the USHL together, and he's always done a nice job wherever he's been. And, not surprising that they're, you know, having a lot of success at Miami.
Well, once again, Union falls behind. Mateo Giampa scores with 6:58 left in the first period to give Miami a 1-0 lead. What were your thoughts about that first period?
I thought we gave them maybe a little bit too much respect. I don't even know if that's the right way to put it, but I just didn't think we were playing with as much confidence. And you know, we've had a lot of talks since this last game about, you know, what it takes to be, you know, an elite hockey team. And you know, we're not far away, but at the same point, those steps are really big steps. So I just thought you got to come out with a, you know, a fighter's mentality and really try to, you know, take the game over. And I thought we were just dipping our toe in.
Well, as has been the case when falling behind, Union rallies. Etienne Lessard scores on a one-timer off a Tyler Dunbar pass at 4:18 of the second period. So Union seems to be in control of the game until Lessard takes in, I have to admit, it's an undisciplined cross-checking penalty after the whistle at 8:59, giving Miami a power play, and then the Redhawks capitalize as Kasper Nassen scores. I mean, that had to be frustrating.
Well, you know, Etienne plays on the edge. I think he's one of the most talented first-year players in college hockey and that I've ever coached, and have a really, really high standard for him. And part of him growing here is, you know, to play with that fire but also keep his composure. And I mean, for him right now, it's something he's got to continue to improve on, and he knows that, and he's his biggest critic. But I think if he could do it again, he wouldn't, but he's got to he can't be hitting people above the shoulders. That's just where you're going to get in a bad spot.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Before we go back to the game, I know Brad Ellich Schlossman of the Grand Forks Herald covers North Dakota had seen Lessard play, and he messes me over the summer that, you know, Union got a stud player.
Yeah, I think he's special. I think we're just scratching the surface of how good he's going to be. You know, for us, he's a guy that's he's already really good, but I think he's just got so much upside. And you know, as he gains more confidence and just learns how to, you know, keep a little bit more composure at times, you're going to see a player that it has a chance to play for a paycheck.
Well, it's 2-1 heading into the third period, and Connor Smith ties it at 3:24 into the third when he directs a Lucas Buzziol shot past goalie Mateo Drobak. Good way to start the period.
Yeah, and I mean, how about Connor Smith and how good he's been playing this year?
Yeah.
You know, he's getting to dirty areas. He's playing with a lot of pace. It was a big goal, and I thought at that point, like, we were winning for sure.
Yeah. Well, the score stays that way until there was 3:38 left in the third when a fluky play leads to the go-ahead goal for Miami. Giampa takes a shot from the right circle that is stopped by Cameron Corpy. The puck is fluttering to the ice, but before it hits the ice, it hits the back skate of defenseman DJ Hart, the left skate, and caroms into the net to give Miami a 3-2 lead. Just an unfortunate situation, right?
Yeah, it happens in the game. Just don't usually hope it happens to you, and it was a tough one.
Yeah. Well, you pull Corpy for an extra attacker with just over 2.5 minutes left in the game, and your team's firing shots left and right. I think Ben had about 4 one-timers from the right circle, and unfortunately Union can't get that tying goal, and Miami wins the Bellpot Bell with a 3-2 victory. I mean, how disappointed was everyone afterwards?
It was an unbelievable trip, and there were so many great things. But, you know, we went there to win that tournament, and I think everybody was disappointed, and you just felt like that you left something on the table. And we haven't played in a lot of tournaments in my time here. You know, you get the ECAC, you know, at the end of the season, and I think this will be really good for us to have this, you know, this early in the season, so guys know what it's like. The atmosphere in the building in Belfast was amazing. It was chaotic, so it was a lot of people. So it was a ton of fun, but I think it'll prepare us for future playoffs.
Yeah, that was my next question. What lessons did the team learn that can help them down the road, especially when you get into the postseason?
Yeah, I think this was exactly what you need to see and how hard it gets in playoff hockey. And that game, you know, on Saturday, I thought was a really good hockey game. I thought it went back and forth. I thought at times we were the better team. I thought at times Miami was better. But I think our guys learned that, like, when we're playing our, our best hockey that we're really good and we can beat anyone.
Seems like there's not many holiday tournaments anymore. I mean, RPI used to have one every year and around Christmas, and it was the Thanksgiving. I know Dartmouth still has its Ledger Bank Classic, but it just seems like the tournaments, in-season tournaments, have really faded away.
Yeah, they have, and there's talk that Dartmouth tournament's going to be done here in the next couple of years. So I think it's hard to get them in, and it's hard to make money, and it's hard to for them to be successful.
Yeah, well, let's hear from Etienne Lessard, Cameron Corpy, and Connor Smith.
So Etienne, first of all, talk about your goal there. I mean, to tie it there, it was a nice one-timer shot. Talk about that.
We knew the group of guys on the ice were tired, so we're just moving the puck around, and Dunny made a great play to freeze the guy in front of him and just gave it to me, and there was traffic at the net, so I put it there and got tipped by their own guy and went in, so it was good. Tied the game up, but couldn't finish it.
I had to ask you about the penalty there. What happened on that cross check? It led to they were getting the power play goal, unfortunately.
Yeah. He cross checked there. He went that to our goalie, so I tried to defend him. Hands were high, so that's
okay. Cameron, for you, tough way to lose a game. You make the save. Unfortunately, the puck hits the back of DJ's left skate and goes in. What did you see on that play, and how helpless did you feel about that?
Yeah, it was just an unfortunate bounce, and, unfortunate for DJ, too. He played it the right way and, gave me the easier shot on the outside, and fortunate bounce for us.
Yeah. Connor, for you, your goal, nice tip. What did you see there?
I got tripped right before it, so I didn't really see much after that, but I got right up, and I saw that Lucas made a nice turnover, so I just go to the net, try to get a nice screen off.
I mean, how frustrating is this? I mean, you're 2-2, and you have a shot there, and then a fluky goal cost you the game, but I mean, how frustrating was that to lose it that way?
I mean, extremely frustrating. That's not obviously how you want it to end. I mean, it's kind of a stupid bounce that you wish you could get back, but I mean, it's over now, so you just gotta move on.
I mean, you guys had some chances there late with Cameron Pull for the extra attacker. Etienne, I'll ask you about, I mean, you had some chances. Just disappointed that they weren't able to bury one?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were in their zone for, I think, 3 minutes, so we got some chances. We just couldn't put it in the back of the net. They were blocking shots, they were at the net, so we just couldn't go in, so yeah.
What do you take from this tournament and apply it to when you get back to the States here and get ready for conference play? And, because obviously now you know what it's like to play in tournament action, because you'll get, if you want to get to the NCAAs, you got to, basically win the ECACs to get there. So, what do you learn from this?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a big learning experience for us. We need to correct some small details, especially like when we need a goal. We need to be better in that area and, just a couple details in our game. But I think it's a big learning experience for us, and it gave us a taste to what a championship kind of game could be. So I think it's a great experience for us.
Cameron, your thoughts?
Yeah, same thing. I think it's really cool to obviously come overseas and play in a tournament style. That's what you play at in March. So, it's a great experience, and hopefully we can learn from it and be better when ECAC rolls around.
And you guys, Connor, I'll start with Connor. Go ahead. I'm sorry?
Last question.
Yeah, this will be the last question. You guys have been playing a little bit with fire, giving up the first goal. You do have a winning record in games when you give up the first goal, but how important is it for you guys to score that first goal and not have to play from behind all the time?
I mean, it's huge in the locker room. We consistently talk about, starting on time, and that's kind of been a flaw of our team so far this year. So, I mean, no one wants to play from behind. It's not fun. So, we're really going to have to dial in and figure out how to start games on time.
Let's take a break. When we return, we'll preview this weekend's ECAC hockey matchups against Princeton and 8th-ranked Quinnipiac at M&T Bank Center, and we'll take listeners' questions. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey.
It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC hockey, there's no experience like it.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity. From the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette News Group Executive Sports Editor Will Sprinstead. I would like to wish you a happy holiday season and a great 2026.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette News Group reporter Ted Remsnyder. I hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season and a prosperous and healthy 2026.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schott. I'm joined by Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Halji. Well, Josh, after traveling back from Belfast, it's time to get back into ECAC hockey play with two games at M&T Bank Center this weekend. The last conference games for 2025. Union will host Princeton at 7 p.m. Friday, and they take on 8th-ranked Quinnipiac at 5 p.m. on Saturday. Before we talk about the matchups, I want to ask you about coming back to the East Coast time. Any concerns? It may take a few days to get the body clocks reacquainted to the Eastern Standard Time, and you're gaining 5 hours coming back from Belfast.
Yeah, I think it was a little easier coming back than going there. However, it's been a challenge to get back onto the sleep schedule. I mean, I've gotten up every morning at like 4 o'clock, and I try to go back to bed for a little bit, but it's just a little bit of trying to. You know, each day get a little bit closer to on the same clock. So it's been a challenge.
How about the players?
Yeah, I think, you know, their energy level was, real low on Monday, and I thought it got a little bit better on Tuesday, and today I thought was our best skate. So we'll be short tomorrow and, hopefully ready to go on Friday.
Well, let's talk about Friday's game against Princeton. The Tigers were swept last weekend by Bowling Green on the road, but the weekend before that at historically frigid Hobey Baker Rink, I like to say that all the time, the Tigers swept St. Lawrence and Clarkson in the St. Lawrence win. Kai Daniels scored 5 goals, and he had it won against Clarkson. Both of the nights, he had the game-winning goal. So how important will it be to keep him in check?
Yeah, I think he's a dangerous player, and, they have some, talented players up front that we'll have to be aware of, and it'll be a tight checking game. They play extremely hard, and they throw pucks at the net. So it'll be a challenge.
Well, Ben Sire is in his second season as Princeton's head coach. The Tigers are 2-2 for 7 points in ECAC hockey play and 5-4-0 overall. I mean, how much has he changed the culture at Princeton?
Well, they're competing at a really high level, which doesn't surprise me the way he coaches. And they've been a really offensive team. Under Coach Fogarty, and now they've really become a tight checking, hard to play against hockey team. So they have some guys that really can score from the previous staff, and now they've learned how to defend under Coach Sire.
Is that because of his time at Cornell, the Mike Schaefer influence?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities to how Cornell plays and how Princeton plays.
What will be the keys to victory?
Well, I think again, like, they don't give you much, so we're gonna have to. Try to get shots and pucks to the net. I think they're averaging just about like 24, 25 shots against. So we're going to have to, make sure we're not passing up opportunities to shoot. I think, using our team speed, but also just, continuing to get pucks to the net. And, for us, it's all about us. I have an identity to score 5-on-5 when it's not easy. And I think, you know, when things have been easy for us, we've scored in bunches. When it's hard, it's a challenge, and we got to continue to keep learning from that.
Well, then on Saturday, Union will face Quinnipiac, a team that has been a pain to the Garnet Chargers. The Bobcats have an 11-game unbeaten streak against the Garnet Chargers, including wins in the last 10. Why has Quinnipiac been such a tough team for Union to beat?
Well, they've been the class of the league here for the, you know, last 5 or 6 seasons. And, you know, I think anytime you're, you know, trying to take that step to go from being good to great, it's, you know, challenging yourself against teams like Quinnipiac. So we're excited about the opportunity to play them, but they're as talented as they've been. And, they continue to do an outstanding job recruiting.
Well, the Bobcats had some interesting non-league games last week. They beat Holy Cross 7-6 in overtime the night before Thanksgiving. And in that third period, the teams combined for 8 goals, 5 by Holy Cross. Then a few nights later, 2 late third-period goals helped Quinnipiac to a 3-2 victory over Stonehill. Does that give you hope that Quinnipiac is vulnerable?
I think that Quinnipiac is really good this season, and I know that they've – you know, had some games where they, you know, maybe want them back. But when they're playing teams that they view as, like, high quality, like, they're really good. And you've seen what they've done against BU and BC. So we know they're going to be talented.
Why is Quinnipiac so good every year?
I think they have, you know, they stick to their model. They know what they're looking for. They have a recipe in recruiting. And they, you know, they don't really veer off from it. They have a really strong culture, and I think that's one thing Rand really does is, you know, he gets guys to buy into his structure.
Didn't they recruit a player that was playing in the pros?
Yeah, so they have a defenseman that's played in the American Hockey League and in the East Coast Hockey League. So
what are we doing?
it's so weird. I hope that stuff gets, you know, straightened out. But yeah, right now there's I think there's like 13 guys that are playing college hockey that have played professionally.
Oh, okay. That's another topic for another time. Well, this is the fun part here. This will be the first installment of the unofficial M&T Bank Cup play. Union plays, of course, in the M&T Bank Center, while Quinnipiac plays in M&T Bank Arena in Hamden, Connecticut. I think we need the marketing geniuses at M&T Bank to make this official. Would you like to have an M&T Bank Cup?
I would. I think you look at, you know, for us, like, we have a little history with Quinnipiac, and there's some, you know, a bit of a rivalry at certain levels. So, like, yeah, we'd love to, you know, get something going with them.
There's no love lost between Union and Quinnipiac, trust me.
Yeah,
Well, after a 2-week run in the USCHO.com college hockey poll, Union dropped out. It had the most points among other teams receiving votes. Colorado College earned 70 points, 13 more than Union. Disappointed that you guys didn't stay in the top 20 this week?
No, I think we deserve to be out. You know, like, we had a chance to stay in if you beat Miami, and you know, I think we kind of got what we deserve in the poll as moving out. But I, you know, I think we're in a spot where you have a good weekend, you can push yourself right back in. So for us, it's continuing to chase and you know, string games together.
Okay. As always, we like to take questions from our listeners. Union professor Brian Cohen is asking about the play at the end of the second period against Miami when Ben Muethysbog was boarded by Ilya Morozov. Brian is asking why he was surprised, as the rest of the fans that were over there in Belfast, that the hit on Ben after the buzzer wasn't at least a major.
It was apparently as close as you can be to a hit not being a major, be a minor. So that's what I was told, is it was extremely close. They went back and forth on it, but decided to go, you know, with the minor penalty. My frustration on that is that we're dealing with NCHC officials in that game, and I thought we should have had the Atlantic Hockey Crew do our game. Because that's what they do in the NCAA tournament, is you stay away from your conference officials. And it was the whole tournament. There's just weird things like that. Like, we were the 2 seed going into the tournament. That's what we got. But we were the away team for both games. So just things like that where you just didn't really understand. But you know, that's what the tournament officials decided.
Why didn't ECAC hockey have officials over there?
It rotates, and last year Harvard was in the tournament, and they had ECAC officials, and Harvard got to stick with the ECAC officials, so they went with it again this year.
Okay. I'll follow up on the question from Professor Cohen. Did you think about challenging it to upgrade it to a major?
No, just because they were had already reviewed it and it, you know, like they were looking at it, so I just felt like that'd be redundant.
Regular, of course, if you, you know, lose a timeout too, so you don't want that. Regular contributor Ryan Fay wants to talk about Tyler Dunbar. Ryan says, I'd be curious about coach's thoughts on Tyler Dunbar over the summer. Halgie said he was looking for Dunbar to take another step offensively. It seems he has so far, averaging a point a game, including eight over his last six. What's been the driving factors in his strong start to the season on the offensive side of the puck?
He's extremely talented, and he can do things that are special. And I think it was just being able to come in and have a fresh start and us saying, hey, like, you know, go ahead and play. You're going to make some mistakes here, but let's continue to go and push through those. And he's just really ran with it. So he's been outstanding.
Ryan added, Ryan's guessing that his mutual time in Lincoln with Mike Znell, the assistant coach at Union, played a role in coming here. He's definitely softened the blow of losing John Prokop early.
No question. You know, Mike does an outstanding job with the D, and you know, he has really strong player relationships, so that helped a lot. Also having DJ Hart here, who played with him in junior hockey, Parker Lindauer played with him in Muskegon, so there was a lot of connections, and I think just our players telling them how much they hopefully enjoy their experience here.
Another regular contributor, David Trestick, asked, the Union offense can be very explosive. However, both teams Union recently lost to, Cornell and Miami, seem to have very big lineups. What did these teams do well defensively to limit the offensive chances, and was their size a factor as well?
I think for us right now, you know, it's continuing to learn how to, you know, manufacture offense against teams that defend really well, and you know, it's hard to score in college hockey, and the funny thing for us is when we do it well, like we make it look pretty easy, and it's a bit of a blessing and a curse because I think guys are just expecting that it'll happen again because it's happened in bunches this year. But we got to have a B game, we got to have a C game when things aren't really going our way and the puck's not, you know, getting to the back of the net, and that's winning net front battles. And you talk about big hockey teams. Yeah, it's hard to get to those spaces when, you know, there's big D back there and big bodies.
Finally, a regular contributor, Jim Calhoun, is asking, during the Belfast TV timeouts broadcast, this showed, this is during a Miami game, you very animated talking to players. What were you trying to convey to them? Is he always this way animated during the ESPN Plus broadcast too? He said he never noticed it before.
I'm pretty soft-spoken for the most part, but when I get fiery, I guess I get a little fiery, and I was frustrated with us after we gave up the second goal. I thought we took a lull in our play and didn't respond. I was just basically saying it doesn't matter what the refs call, it doesn't matter what the linesmen call, it doesn't matter, you know, what happens. All that matters is your next shift and being ready to go, and you know, and how you respond. I think a lot of times in life, like, there's going to be things that are really a lot worse than a goal, and how you respond to them is going to be how your, you know, the way your life goes. So it's more of just a learning lesson. So
thanks everybody for the questions. If you have a question for Josh, you can email them to Schott, that's Schott, at dailygazette.com. Or you can post them on Facebook on my personal page and the Party Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky, X, and Threads at Slapshots. The Daily Gazette ECAC Hockey Face-Off selections are back for another season. I'll post my picks usually on Wednesdays, and then you can send your picks to me. And I will post those picks before the first game, usually on Fridays, to play. Send your picks to Schott at dailygazette.com. And I'm tied for first place right now, so I'm feeling pretty good. Well, Josh, good luck this weekend, and we'll talk after the games. And, well, of course, next week will probably be our final podcast before Christmas.
Yeah, crazy. It's almost halfway through the season.
I know. Unbelievable. Josh, and again, thanks a lot. We'll see you on Friday. All right, that's Josh Halgie. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, I'll talk more Union men's hockey. I'll have interviews with Nick Young, Brandon Burr, and Parker Lindauer. The Union women's hockey team returns to ECAC hockey play this weekend with road games against Harvard and Dartmouth, the team's last games of 2025. I'll speak with head coach Tony Macy, defenseman Stephanie Bork, and forward Maddie Leaney. Gazette High School sports writer Drew Wimple talks high school football as we get you set for Saratoga Springs taking on CBA Syracuse in the state Class AA championship game on Saturday. And Drew will talk about the dispute between the high school hockey on ice officials and Section 2 that is disrupting the season. Gazette Executive Sports Editor Will Springstead will talk about the serious head injury suffered by Siena men's lacrosse coach Liam Gleason. I hope you tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I am Daily Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schatz. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.